Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
What I'd love to talk to you guys about, the message that I've kind of been brewing, it's called The Blessed Ones. The Blessed Ones. That's the message for today. The Blessed Ones. When you think about being blessed, what comes to mind? When you hear of someone who is blessed, what is it that comes to mind? What do they look like? What does a blessed person actually look like? Are they well off? Do they have good things? Is it about power? Is it about status? Is it about wealth? What is being blessed all about? Anyone feeling blessed this morning? Yes. All right. This side here, there's some blessed people. We're going to, by the end of the sermon, you guys will know that you are actually blessed people. Is blessing a state or a feeling? Is it having God's favor? Is it His protection? As we love to do, let's go to the Word and hear what Jesus Himself says about being blessed and what it is to be blessed, to be a blessed people. Come with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read from verses 1 to 11. Just giving you a moment to get your Bibles out. Get to Matthew. Let's hear what Jesus says about being blessed and what promises there actually are for those who follow Jesus, the blessed ones. So Matthew 5, it says, seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain. It's talking about Jesus. And when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These are called the Beatitudes. We're just going to read that out again. If you can just put that slide that's got from verse 3 to 11. Let's read this together. You guys just start to read. Blessed are the poor in spirit. All right. Hey, I could see the blessing was finally flowing to this side, starting to get a bit louder. Blessed, blessed, blessed. when we read about these Beatitudes, there's eight Beatitudes there that Jesus talks about. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are who else? The peacemakers, the persecuted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They're called the Beatitudes. That word Beatitude comes from a Latin word, beatus. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but it means the blessed. It means the fortunate. Now, when Jesus was talking about these things, this is actually him starting the Sermon on the Mount. Do you guys know about the Sermon on the Mount? We hear that seeing crowds, he's seeing all these crowds that are following him. He goes onto the top of this mountain and he opens his mouth. He gives this massive sermon, the longest sermon that's recorded in the Gospels. Here in Matthew, goes from chapter 5 all the way to 7. And Jesus is teaching about what it is to be blessed, but he's teaching about so many other things like giving to the needy. He's talking about judging others. He's talking about the Lord's Prayer. He's talking about building their house on a rock. He's talking about so many things in there. Anger, being salt and light, oaths, retaliation. He gives this sermon. He's teaching. Jesus is teaching the people. But what is this all about? Here at Numa South this year, I can't even keep count of how many times we've talked about this book in Matthew. We've talked about how Jesus was baptized and then the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. And then he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And he comes out moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. He starts his ministry. This is part of it. You start to see as you go back to Matthew 4 before the Beatitudes. If you look at verse 17 in Matthew 4, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's teaching in power. He's moving in power. He says to them, repent. You need to change your ways. You need to turn away from the world's ways. Repent. Turn. Change. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying the kingdom of heaven, God's rule and reign, God's presence, God's desires, heaven is at hand. It can be accessed. So he's going to teach. He's going to demonstrate. He does so many miracles. He's saying this is reachable now. He has come and he's saying you need to repent. So everyone's wondering, what does that look like? What does the kingdom of heaven look like? What does repenting look like? And we hear in Matthew 4, 23 to 25, it says, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. He is teaching. He is doing miracles and the crowds are following him. And we see all the teaching happen there in 5 and 7. In those chapters. But now, these crowds continue to follow him. And so he goes on the mountain. He sits down. We're told, who's he actually preaching to? Who is this Beatitudes? Who is this message actually to? We're told in verse 2 or verse 1, it says, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. He's talking to his disciples. Before that, he's just chosen his disciples. He's preaching and teaching and they're coming with him. But he goes and sits on this mountain and picture his disciples, his inner circle. They sit down. He says he sits down. In those days, teachers would sit down to teach. They would sit down and they would start to teach. So he sits down and he starts to teach them about what the kingdom looks like. But was it only for Jesus? Because there's all these crowds that are there. When you think about the Sermon on the Mount, it goes through a couple of chapters. And you look at chapter 7. If you just look in your Bible, if you have it, at the end of chapter 7, verse 28. It says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. So not only was he talking to the disciples, but there was people eavesdropping into the conversation. Because when you look at a lot of the things Jesus is saying, there are things you don't want to say to someone who doesn't believe. But Jesus had no filter. He didn't have a filter. He's talking to his disciples, but there's people listening. And it's so easy in church to be like, oh, we got to just reach out for the lost or keep them in mind when they're coming to church. Just don't go there. Just think about them. Jesus went there. And the Holy Spirit has a way of, as you preach the truth, that the onlookers, the ones that are interested or not sure, they will catch what the Spirit is saying. They will be convicted. So this was for the disciples, but it was also for the crowds, those looking in. And what Jesus is actually talking about right here, about the Beatitudes, it was actually about the identity of the disciples. He was talking about who they are. This is who you are. You are blessed. He's saying, you believe me, you're following me. You are blessed if you're poor in spirit. You are blessed if you are meek. You are blessed if you're pure in heart. And with all those statements, there was promises that came with that. So blessed. When you think about that word blessed, it actually means more than happiness. When you think about what it means, it actually means the fortunate, to be blessed. When you look at the translation, it means that you are fortunate and you have this enviable state that when people look at you, they go, wow. And it's an enviable state of those who follow Jesus. That's being blessed, being fortunate and in an enviable state of those who follow Jesus. Because to Jesus, being blessed means the experience of hope and joy. Being blessed, it's not about the wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. It's the love of money that is evil. But being blessed is not about the wealth. It's not about the status. It's not about the relationships. Being blessed, according to Jesus, is about the experience of hope and joy, independent of your outward circumstances. No matter how bad it is, because things are bad, we suffer. No matter what's happening in your body, what's happening in your marriage, what's happening at your work, your hope and my hope is to be found in Jesus. Where do you find your hope? Where do you find your joy? Is it based on how things are going outwardly, what people can see, what you feel? Or is it based on who God is and who he says you are? Where do you find your hope? Ask yourself that. Where do I find my joy? Is it in Jesus or is it in my financial situation or in my relational situation? Who knows what it feels like when you just see your bank account, your bank balance, just slowly going down. And you're going, I don't know if I'm going to survive. But then you realize God is my provider. You're like, is my joy based on how much money is in my account this month or next week or next year? Or is it based on the one who is my blessing, who has blessed me, who looks after me? Our joy is to be found in God. He is the source of blessing, of what it is to be blessed. You see, I think to be blessed is to have God on you. When you are blessed, it means God is on you. When you say to someone, God bless you, what are you actually saying to them? You're saying, God be with you. That's what we're saying. We're saying, God be with you. You know, number 626, the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That's number 6, verse 26. Verse 24 to 26. The Lord bless you. When you're blessing someone, you're saying, God bless you. You're saying, God be with you. When you look at the Old Testament, what did blessing mean? There's so many places in the Old Testament where it says, blessed are those who do this, blessed are those who do that. In the Old Testament, to be blessed actually meant that you're someone who obeyed the instruction of the Lord. You're someone who obeyed the law of the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, one of my favorites, says, blessed is the person who does not walk in the way of sinners or stand in the counsel of the wicked. I'm mixing it up. But it says, blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, or what's the other one? Stand, seat. Can't remember it? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of sinners or stand in the way of the wicked and sit in the seat of mockers. But it's saying, blessed are those people who do not do the things of this world. But this is what it says. It says, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on it, their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on it, they meditate day and night. It says their leaf does not wither. Everything they do prospers. It says they're not like the chaff that's blown to and fro by the wind. That is what it is to be blessed, to be a people of the Word of God. But in today's world. In today's world, what is it to be blessed? See, what does it mean when someone wants you to bless them? People in today's world are not concerned about God's blessing. They're concerned about you blessing what I want. I want you to bless how I think, how I see life. If you don't want to bless what I'm doing, then see you later. The Beatitudes. Those 8 things, there's 8 of them. In those verses, they're not options. It's not like multiple choice. Oh, I can choose being poor in spirit. I can choose being meek. I can choose being a peacemaker. I can choose persecution. No, it's the whole thing. It's part of our identity. It is to be part of our identity. But when you look at those things, people of the world and our natural selves would not say that's what it is to be blessed. But they're actually not options, but all part of the whole, describing how a disciple should look like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. For the next few weeks, hopefully, I would love for us to just let the scripture wash over us. Today, I just want to focus on that. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought about what that actually means, to be poor in spirit? When you think about the word poor, it can mean beggar, a person of few resources. someone culturally considered oppressed, despised, miserable. It's like, who wants to be poor? It's looked down on. But this is not the poverty that's been spoken about here. And Jesus teaches us about the poor and how we're to look after the poor. But this is not what he's talking about here. He's actually saying you are to be poor in spirit. And God was moving in that today during worship when we're saying, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we can't do anything without you. That is being poor in spirit. When you actually realize that you can't do it without Jesus. You can't do it by yourself. Doesn't matter what it is. You can't do this life by yourself. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Jesus said, all that I do in John 5, I only do what I see my Father doing. He wouldn't just do his own thing. It's so easy for you and I to just do our own thing. And then we try to get the Lord to bless it. We try to get the church to bless it. Oh, this is how I see scripture. You need to bless that. This is my point of view. This is how I see life. But no, we actually need to go, God, I need you. I need your word. You fill me up. You speak to me. The poor in spirit is actually one lacking in spirit. What's spirit? Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. The Greek spirit, pneuma. That's where the name of this church is derived from. But the Greek's got a P-N-E-U-M-A. The pneuma, the spirit is the wind, the breath. We're talking about spirit, things having no material substance. We're to be realized that we are poor. We need to be poor in this, in spirit. That we need more of him. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for or how long or how short it is. There is more of God. And we need more of God. It doesn't matter how much you had him yesterday, how much you have him today. You need more of him right now. There's always more. And being poor in spirit, saying, God, I need you. Does your life say that? Does your life reflect that? Does your focus reflect that poverty of spirit? When you think about the spirit, is that immaterial part of the inner person? Immaterial part of you and I that can respond to God. The spirit, the inner part of me that can respond to God. See, my body can't respond to God without my spirit. It can't. My mind can't respond to God without my spirit. It all starts with the spirit. But if I'm not paying attention to the spirit, then I'll pay attention to the flesh, to the body, to my own desires. But when I go, Lord, I don't want anything else but you. I need you to fill me up, to fill my spirit. Everything flows out of that. If you're not poor in spirit, it means you're not depending on God. You're depending on yourself. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those that are poor in spirit or those that just live a life that says, I don't need God. And even as God's people, we can easily, anytime, any day, move into that space of just not recognizing our need for him, not inviting him into every part of our lives. Poverty of spirit. Where's your spirit at? Is there a shortage? It's not so much a lack of spirit that you have. It's that posture of humility. Because God says, I'll give you my spirit without measure. But there's got to be an openness to receive his spirit. And that comes with that humility. That word humility is about coming low, having this status, this state of being low. When you think about humility, if you've done geography back in the days in school, humus, H-U-M-U-S, soil, the ground, humus, same word as humility, same root. Being humble is about being grounded. Staying low, realize we're not up here. We need to stay down here so that God can move. God can have his hand on us as we stay low. We'll look at meekness at some point. But there's such a connection between being meek and being poor in spirit. No matter where I'm at with God, I need him and I need more of him. The only thing that God wants from you and I is for us to give him ourselves as empty vessels. Empty vessel. Okay, God, I'm just letting go of everything. I just come as I am. You put in me what you want. I lay it all down. You show me the things that you want me to pick up, the things you want me to take on. But I just come as an empty vessel. Because if we're not doing that, everything else gets in the way. If we're valuing other things more than him, they get in the way of him actually enduring us, putting things on us. But we have to come to him as empty vessels. Just like Jesus, he was and is equal to God. But we're told in Philippians 2 that he emptied himself. He didn't consider his equality with God to be anything. So when we're poor in spirit, we're actually in the space of God, you fill me. You use me. You work through me. It's because he wants to put his kingdom in you. He wants to put his kingdom in us. Because Jesus said, repent. For the kingdom is at hand. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See, there's a realm, there's a place that is beyond us, that God rules, that God governs. But God's been so kind and gracious to us. It takes an invitation to be part of the kingdom. You can't just rock up into anyone's kingdom, can you? The king's got to invite you. But guess what? Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited into his kingdom. But yet we can be members of his kingdom, but we still have responsibility to actually take part in the things of his kingdom. And these are the responsibilities that God has put before us, to be poor in spirit, to be peacemakers. We're not to be people that like to keep the peace. But make peace. We'll leave that on for another day. The kingdom of heaven. See, as his followers, we have access to the kingdom. And the entry point, when you look at these Beatitudes, is being poor in spirit. Because when you look at the Beatitudes, there's eight of them there. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The last one, verse 10, says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says the same thing. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is. That is now. It's present tense. It said we have access to the kingdom now. If you're poor in spirit, you have access to his kingdom now, to his rule, to his reign, to him having dominion over every part of your life. You have access to what is his. What have we been taught to pray by Jesus? Your kingdom come, your will be done. His kingdom comes by being poor in spirit. His kingdom comes by hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and then he fills us. So this is how we enter his kingdom as believers, as already Christians. But you want to enter his kingdom. It says, be poor in spirit, saying, be humble, depend on me, be desperate for me, love nothing else but me. So those two talk about theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But if you look at the other six of the Beatitudes, they're all saying, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. That's future tense. It's saying that's going to happen when Jesus fully establishes his kingdom. But the first one about the entry into the kingdom is yours right now is the kingdom. But then all those things, mercy, comfort, being called sons of God, it's saying future. But we know the Bible tells us in Romans 5 that we are sons and daughters of God. So we don't have to get too caught up in the future tense and the present tense. But what it's actually reminding us is that Jesus has made his kingdom available now, but also it's not yet. There's so much more to come when he comes back and fully establishes his kingdom and we actually inherit our inheritance. So we have so much to look forward to. But guess what? It's also progressive day by day as we grow in our discipleship, as we're poor in spirit, as we are humble, as we're making peace, as we're pure in our hearts. We receive more and more of his kingdom. We receive more and more of his reign. When I talk about his kingdom, just think about what he desires. That's all part of his kingdom. Think about, he wants to make heaven in you. He wants to make us his dwelling place. So he puts his kingdom in us. But it takes you and I actually going, you know what? I need you. Do you actually think about what his kingdom consists of? Righteousness, peace, joy. That's what his kingdom consists of. And that impacts every area of your life, your work, your decisions, your relationships. So all this is to say his fullness will come when the kingdom fully comes. But the way to enter in is by being poor in spirit. Are you dependent on him? Are you desperate for him? He wants to dwell in us. He wants to make you his resting place. Bless the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I really want to ask you today, church, what's your capacity like to respond to God? What is your capacity like right now to respond to God? Because your capacity, my capacity to respond to God depends on poverty of spirit. Are you poor in spirit? Because your capacity to respond to God depends on that. How much capacity do you have in you to respond to God? Can he actually fill you? Can he speak to you? Does he trust you? When he says, don't do that, can you hear him? That's responding to God. He's like, don't do that. Yeah. See, it depends on what you're filling your spirit tank with. See, we all get the spirit when we say yes to Jesus. We get a deposit. And we've got a tank that's got to be filled with the spirit. That's got to be filled with the things of God. But if we're filling it with people's voices, filling it with all other influences, God's got no room to get into your soul, your mind, your thoughts, because it's full of other things. So I ask you again, what's your capacity like right now to respond to him? You get the capacity by coming to that place of, Lord, I'm desperate for you. So because I'm desperate for you, I'm going to start the day with you. I'm going to ask you, Lord, what do you have for me today? I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking about the day, Lord. What do you think about that? Where do you want me today? You're going to give him room to speak. What do you want me to do with my money, Lord? How do you want me to arrange my budget? You want him to speak into every area of your life. What do you want to do with my marriage? What do you want to do with my single life? What is your capacity to respond to God looking like right now? Because it depends on your humility. See, when we let life get in the way, oh, life's getting in the way, man. I'm just so busy. There's so much going on. Who's never heard people say that? Who's never said that? We hear it. We all say it. See, when you let life get in the way, when I let life get in the way, I'm not being poor in spirit. I'm saying, I've got this, and I need this thing to happen. I need to make it happen. I need to make my career happen. I need to make sure this is happening with my kids, because I am God. That's pretty much what we're saying, but we don't realize it. We're saying, I don't need God. So if I don't need God, I'm my own God. So I've got it sorted. We're like, oh, life's getting in the way. I don't have time, man. I don't have time to spend with the Lord in the morning. Not even at night, because at night I'm tired from work, you know. And during the day, I'll scroll on my phone and see what's going on with the World Cup, because that refreshes me. But you know, when I get home, I need me some Netflix. Because I got to tune out. I got to switch off. And I really need my exercise. Bro, if I don't exercise, I'm going to go troppo. You should go troppo if you're not spending time with the Lord. You should. I should. But because we fill ourselves with all these other things, they become the things that keep us going. So if I don't get me some Netflix, something's missing. If I don't go for a run, something's missing. Because I've made myself, engineered myself to do that. God allows us to engineer ourselves to be lovers of His Word. He's created us that way. He's actually put His Word on our hearts already. So when we make it a daily thing, it just lines up with His heart so much that straight away you start to love it, that you cannot go without it. And it's crazy, because being poor in spirit, we will never graduate from. I'll be poor in spirit today. I'll be poor in spirit tomorrow. And the next day, if I'm not, something's going wrong. Because if I'm poor in spirit, He's going to come and fill me with what He wants. And what He gives me, it fills that spirit tank and overflows into every part of my life. But what He gives me, it overflows into my relationships, into my conversations. And then I start to see, wow, people are being touched. People are being impacted by what God is doing in my life, by what I'm saying. And I'm like, Lord, I need more. Because as I give it out, I'm almost left with nothing. So then I'm like, Lord, I want more. So then it becomes a cycle. You're constantly receiving from Him and you're constantly giving out. And as you give out, you're like, Lord, I need more. He gives you rest in that, but He gives you more. And then you just stay in this place of, Lord, I've got so much from You, but man, I've come to the Word and I'm learning about You, but I feel like I haven't even started yet. There's so much to know about You. I want to spend more time with You, Lord, because there's so much to Him. But when we fill our spirits with all this other stuff, it's like, man, it's just so boring. I've tried. But we actually have to fight to get the Bible to a place where we're addicted to it, because there's so much goodness. And the prince of this world does not want us to be addicted to this. So we've got to fight for that blessing of the Word of God. How do you respond? Can you have the capacity to respond when God says, don't watch that? You're sitting on a plane, you want to watch this particular show, and the Lord's saying, nah, not that, that's not my kind of show. It's like, nah, Lord. Or do you even hear what He's saying? Because He's speaking to you about everything. But do you have the capacity to actually hear Him and respond? And guess what? He actually gives you what you need to say yes. And there's freedom in that. There's so many things He has for us that are so much better than the things of this world. You can only respond to God when you're dependent on Him. You can only respond to God when you are dependent on Him. If the worship team could join me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How much of a spirit tank is there in you for God to fill? Is there room for God to fill in you? for God to speak? Have you filled the spirit tank that God's giving you with other things? Other things that are blocking what God is wanting to say, what God is wanting to do? Maybe it's words people have spoken over your life. You've listened to other people's disappointment. You've listened to other people's expectations. And that's taking over what God says and what God wants to do. And you need to realize those things for what they are. And God, Lord, that's not my portion. That's not my portion. I want to make room for you. I want to put all these things aside. Empty myself. Meditate on your word. Meditate on His word. What does His word say about you? God can get rid of the blockages like that. What is it that's blocking you from putting Him first? He's the name above every other name. See, there's only one source of blessing. See, as disciples, as Christians, we are the blessed ones. We are the fortunate ones. And this is available for everyone. But they just have to choose Him. But God is the only source of blessing that matters. We can bless people. I can bless someone. But the main source of blessing is God, the Father of all compassion. He tells us what it looks like. I encourage you to join me over the next few weeks to just meditate on Matthew chapter 5, on those Beatitudes. Because God tells us the blessed are the ones that are poor in spirit. The blessed ones are the ones that mourn, for they'll be comforted. What does that mean, to mourn? What is He talking about? The blessed ones are the ones who hunger. The hungry ones are the blessed ones that hunger for Him, that hunger for righteousness. The ones that are meek, the ones that are gentle. This goes against what the world says. The blessed ones are the ones that are pure in heart, the ones that are persecuted for His sake. See, church, none of these things can be achieved without Jesus. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Don't try to live this out by yourself. Sometimes as Christians, we go, Lord, I know Your word. I know Your will. Thank You very much. I'll take it from here. And self-righteousness kicks in. Recognize your poverty in spirit and let Him feed it and fill it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.